Tom White and Mick McGowan on this Wednesday morning RSN breakfast, and we've got a special guest in the studio, Carlton assistant coach John Barker, for the next half hour. So a real treat for Blues fans. John, thanks very much for coming in.
Pleasure. Morning.
We've just spoke to Jaron Geary before 7 o'clock this morning about the excitement of knowing that there's intra-club games being played and the NAB Challenge isn't far away. From an assistant coaching point of view, do you get similar sort of excitement that all the things that you've concocted over the last 3 or 4 months can actually be put into place?
Yeah, look, we're probably not quite as keen to get into the games. Coaches, as you know, Mick, always want that little bit of extra time to just keep working on things, but there's definitely a sense of excitement with the players. It's been a fairly long pre-season this year compared to our pre-season last year, because we made it to the second week of finals the year before. So our pre-season was cut short, but we have the extra 2 weeks this year, plus the fact that we got back 2 weeks early. So they are very excited and very keen to get into the games.
Before I let Mick loose on all the intricacies of a pre-season, just an overall view, because last year, it wasn't the feeling, it was a fact that you had so many players that didn't participate in large chunks of the pre-season through injury, and it really did have an effect, particularly at the start of the year, on your performance.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
How different has it been this year?
Yeah, it's pretty solid variable. The need to stay healthy through the pre-season, it really gives you base, and you can get away with, you know, a handful of issues, but when you have 19 operations and 3 of them were to key people in January, it just plays havoc with your ability to get going, and we lost, I think, our first 4 games by less than maybe 2.5 kicks, and just takes the wind out of your sails right at the start, and that made it hard going forward, but we just felt we really clawed our way back late in the season, started to get a bit of momentum up, and we're hopeful, given the fact that we're having a better pre-season this year, we're much healthier, that transfers into what we see game day.
I suppose the hard question is, Johnny, where's the improvement going to come from? Because the facts are on the table for everyone to see last year. If you're going to assess where you want to go, and that's to play finals footy, you have to beat those that are already in it. I know it's a new year, everyone hasn't got a brick on the wall at this stage, but you had 1 win against top 8 teams and a draw with a low percentage.
Thanks, Mick, for that first up question. You're always very, very good with the curly ones. Yeah, be spot on, but I think that organic growth has to be really big with us. So our ability for those guys who weren't as fit and healthy early last year, they're in really good shape. You know, Matty Crew's a great example of that, but we've got a few senior players who didn't really take part last year in our pre-season who have all had really solid pre-seasons. We've also got some growth from outside. You know, we're looking forward to Liam Jones and Tuddy having some real impact, who have both come from the Bulldogs. Christian Jacks has come from GWS, and we're pretty confident he's going to have some impact. And, we feel like we've drafted well, and we've got a little bit of speed that, you might see in bits and pieces this year from a young guy's point of view.
You mentioned 2 players there that the football world say, Jason Tutt, Liam Jones, they were given enormous opportunity at the Bulldogs, but probably couldn't survive even their system. What do you guys see in them that they can bring to Carlton to make you better?
Well, for a start, Jonesy and Tutty, I think both, depends on how you define survive, but I think they both survived and were playing senior footy. We just felt like...
Were they inconsistent, though?
Absolutely. But we just felt with Liam that he probably wasn't played to his strengths. And we just feel that with our makeup and the mechanics of our forward line, that he's going to have play a really solid part, and he's going to have some real impact for us.
So you'll play him high?
Actually, he'll as you know, in modern football, you can't actually sit high or sit low at any given time. That it revolves around where the ball is at any given time. So he'll play, but the fact that we've got another couple of big forwards means that his load will be shared.
I'm interested in Liam Jones because for two reasons. His performance in the VFL Grand Final last year was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And almost brought the Bulldogs back into the game when they looked to be struggling. And the other thing is, his best year was when Barry Hall was playing in the Bulldogs as well. So you've got a situation now where he can be in a forward line where he's not the number one man. He's got Lockie Henderson. He's got Levi Casbolt in the forward line as well. So I reckon it's going to be really interesting to see how he goes when the attention actually isn't necessarily on him.
Yeah, look, that's our exact mindset. One of the reasons why we've gone after him, we know he plays good footy when he's got good support around him. We know that he does struggle when he has to be the lone pine and has to work both sides of the ground. So we see that being a real fillip for us. We see him having some really good impact for us down there.
Huge one, I think, in terms of issue, was your turnover rate last year and probably where you turned it over. Has that been addressed over summer? Is it ball movement strategy, i.e. corridor, wider corridor, boundary? Where you turn it over, who turns it over? All those sort of things would be questions, I reckon, that the coaches would have to get solutions for.
Yeah, absolutely. So the assistant coaches, Dean Ladley, myself mainly, we basically spent 2 weeks watching every score against us from a turnover. And as you said, there was some big ticket items from our point of view that were glaringly obviously that we just started seeing patterns in the way that we turn the ball over, not just from our ball use point of view and the way we use it. You know, you're talking about different areas of the ground, but also from our ability to defend it, and also some issues that were in the contest where the ball was turned over. So we've done a hell of a lot of work on that. You know, we've put in place some strategy in terms of the way we've trained and the way we wanted to skill those players up in those areas. And, you know, we just, as I said before, we're lucky enough to have been able to spend a lot of time on those aspects this year, given the fact that we've had the boys for quite some time.
So on the back of that then, was there a learning out of last year's turnover, which could be a positive this year, that you may not have had the support mechanisms defensively in place to stifle the opposition from scoring on your turnover?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there were some defensive aspects, absolutely, because you have to defend every turnover. But as you mentioned, sometimes the ball use wasn't up to scratch, and sometimes some of the ways in which we set up our contests, we didn't quite get it right.
So we know that there's three scoring sources. Turnover, massive. What, it was 57% or something last year?
It's between 60 and 65 now.
That high?
It's basically flipped on its head. Stoppages was such a big scoring source for a while there, especially when it became a real scrimmage game.
Sydney-like?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And kick-ins is the other way you can score from controlling the ball. So a huge focus of your pre-season has been on ball movement, I would have thought, ball retention, right bloke's hands, good decisions.
Absolutely.
How do you coach that? How do you coach players to make good decisions with ball in hand?
Well, they just need to be put in the same situation over and over and over. And one of the things that, you know, without giving away too much, you cannot just throw out five cones and say, let's do five star, and think that they're going to improve their ability to make decisions, because there's no pressure on them and there's no pressure on the target they're going to hit. So we've got to make it as game-like as possible. I remember listening to Ange Postecoglou speak at a Coaches Association seminar one day, and he just said he hated assistant coaches putting together drills, and there were aspects of the game that he was never going to see on match day. So we need to put pressure on them with their ball use, and they need to be put in that situation over and over and over again, and there needs to be multiple decisions that need to be made, and they just get better at it. You keep putting them in the situation, they'll get better at it.
How do you get that balance right when you've got sports science staff probably questioning whether a player can come up training by training session? Let's face it, you train hard, and the players try to give maximum output every time they're out there, and that's just the competitor. That's what he does to prepare. But when you've got a sports science probably department, I'm not saying Carlton specifically, but most want to probably get involved and say, Billy, Johnny, Smithy, they can't all train today because they're a little bit tight, a little bit sore. Fundamentally, it makes it really hard to plan, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So the coaching groups, I think, that are most organised are the ones that can manage those situations the best. As you said, the sports scientists have a massive impact on how much time we get with the players these days. You would have heard it. Why aren't they having, you know, 200 shots on goal a week? But what we've got to know is that they are monitored to within an inch of their life. They get up and they're tapping in their a whole heap of results on their sleep quality, their energy levels, how they're feeling. They do a barrage of tests when they first get to the club. All this information is analysed by our sports scientists, and they get flags, good medium or bad, and they work out who can keep going and who needs to be pulled back. And you just think there's a hell of a lot less OP in footy these days, a hell of a lot less overuse injuries, and it's because these guys are monitored so well.
So when you, from a physical point of view, there are some clubs that are just going so hard to be as fit as possible from the start of the season, and I guess Port Adelaide's taken fitness to a whole new level and other clubs are trying to copy with heat training and all that sort of thing. Has Carlton gone down that path as well, or is Carlton thinking, no, we need to peak a little bit later in the year? How does that all work, and what input do the coaches have on that, and which import is it, or what percentage import is it just purely and simply the strength and conditioning guys?
Yeah, look, we're pretty keen to get started well this year, especially given the way we started last year, but we don't want to compromise their health, because you can get them to the point where they're redlining, and the last thing you want is guys to just start to fall over that edge, getting little soft tissue injuries, and when you start to get a handful of those at the club, you know that you're pushing them a little bit too hard. But yeah, we'll look, in combination, we're all, coaches and sports scientists, very keen to get started well this year, and the fact that we're healthy is really good, but we've got to stay healthy if you want to compete well.
Because, Mickey, we get the information ourselves on which clubs are up early and which clubs are sort of trying to get it more mid-season going in the second half, and it does actually correlate to wins and losses in the first sort of 6 weeks of the season. Everyone has got a different philosophy as to, you know, when you're going to peak, I guess.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and you have to stay the course if that's the case, but one thing's for sure and certain, bricks on the wall are pretty important at the start of a season. I reckon it's massive for the coaching philosophy to adhere to, that they're doing the right thing. Players feed off that coaching philosophy because they believe in what the coaches are trying to teach. And I reckon the environment becomes a lot more manageable because of that situation. Winning's a great medicine, Whitey, in AFL. They're hard to get. Yeah. You have to earn the right to get wins. They're never easy, and you have to do a lot of things right in a game of footy to make sure you do it in this competition. But I think winning's the best medicine. If you can win early, it can build your season.
Especially in an even competition.
Oh, for sure.
In an even competition. We'll take a break, 12 to 8, back with more with John Barker from the Blues after this. It's 8 to 8 with Adam White, Nick McGuan, and also John Barker from the Blues in the studio talking all things Carlton. Again, I'll ask one question, Mickey, and then you go for your life. I think everyone wants to know how Dale Thomas is going after last year and the injury concerns he's had. The mail is that he's training the house down and he's back to full fitness. Is that the case?
Yeah, he is. He's training really well. And I think, you know, for the Carlton fans that saw the way he started to, you know, get a bit of conditioning up and started to play a little bit better footy towards the end of the year, you know, they'll be excited, and they'll also be buoyed by the fact that he's had a full pre-season. I mean, 2 years out of the game, it takes a while to get that base level condition back to be able to compete as well as you can. And as we know, it's an effort-based business, but you need strong conditioning to be able to play this game, especially for 2 hours.
Where's he best suited, John?
Well, look, now that he's really fit, I'll put my hand up to get him down off the half-back line. But he'll
as a constant?
No, he'll probably float through wing, half-back and half-forward. You might see him inside at times, just to mix it up, depending on what we're after.
A couple of questions, and I think it's important that Carlton people hear this from you. How do Carlton defend as a philosophy? Because a lot of Carlton people might go and watch them, but they ask the question, what is our signature defence?
Well, the way you defend is obviously based on where the turnover occurs or where the stoppage is. So, the way you defend is slightly different either way. One thing that's come out of our pre-season and more importantly our review off the back end of last season is that we've been able to train our methods pretty repetitively and pretty rigidly over a good long pre-season campaign. And because you can do that, it becomes more set in the players' minds. Obviously, last year we had a lot of players go through that back six and, you know, obviously through the midfield based on the fact that we weren't as healthy as we would have liked to be. But that added to the fact that we've been able to train it over and over and put these guys in these situations repetitively, I think you'll find that your ability to pick what we do is a lot more stark this year.
What about slow measured ball movement, John? Obviously, a lot of clubs do use that as a tactic, as a form of defence. Is that something that you've been training as well?
Yeah, so coming out of the
which helps teams' defence, really.
Absolutely, because what you're seeing in modern football at the moment is there'll be bursts of goals. A team
correct.
Kick 5, 6. Your ability to identify it on the field, and we talked a little bit about this last year, you know, it's a big competitive advantage at the moment, or, you know, the ability of teams to organise and direct themselves on the field. And, you know, the Sydneys and the Hawthorns, they've just got like 10 or 12 traffic cops on the ground. They just make things happen. But our ability to organise that, when we see there's a bit of a run on, and then, as you talked about, having a smart method with your control ball use is critical. We identified that on our turnover stats and vision from last year, and we've worked very hard on it.
So that leads to the question then, how will Carlton move the ball? We know Mick Malthouse won a premiership in 2010, boundary-lied method. A lot of clubs wanted to have that copycat mentality, not a point of difference. Wanted to follow what the previous premiership team did. What's Carlton going to do with ball in hand this year, and where will they direct the footy mostly?
Well, I think you're asking for trouble if you just lock yourself into one complete mode of ball use. You should have a signature style, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to move in different modes, and it depends on what defence you see in front of you. But as I said before, we've got a healthy list, and they've been able to train these scenarios and our method for a long period of time, so we're hoping and we're very confident it'll translate into the what we see game day.
Okay, you can have the last one.
I was just going to ask.
I feel like I'm in the Spanish Inquisition.
You're all over me, buddy. Just going to ask about expectation. A lot is expected of Carlton, whether you like it or not. Carlton are a proud club, a big club. Last 2 years haven't been great. Can Carlton make the 8 this year?
Oh, look, that's the plan. That's the plan. And we feel like we've turned the list over by 50% in the last 2 years.
Massive turnover.
We're trying to get a more of a youthful age demographic.
19 to 25.
Absolutely. We're trying to reduce the age demographic. You know, which will give us the base with which to take us forward. But we also know that we've got to be competitive, and we're keen to do that. And we've trained to be that, and we're looking forward to the start of the season. You always hear coaches, you know, we're having a great preseason. We're running as hard as we have in years. Guys are doing PBs. You hear all the coaches talking about that. I don't really want to talk about that because time will tell. When the season starts, we'll know how well our preseason's been going.
As Dennis Pagan said, it's not the Football Olympics. It's what you do when the season starts.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. I think you'll pop in a few times during the season, so it'll be great to have some insights from yourself on the Blues.
Absolutely. Thanks, gents.
Good on you, Johnny. Great insight, mate.
John Barker, assistant coach at Carlton, coming up to 8.